What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. Hey everybody, I'm Adam Hergenrother. This is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. Today I'm joined by me. Hallie decided to take a vacation, which we're really excited for. So that gives me the mic to myself, which I'm going to jump into two powerful questions that I believe will drive your life. Two questions that I constantly in the beginning part of a spiritual journey, I love bringing these up and breaking them down because they come from two things, like your intention in your life and the two questions from the intention of this. So the two main questions that I'm thinking about this morning are, number one is, are you a physical being experiencing spirituality or experiencing life? Meaning that, are you a physical being, meaning that I'm a physical being experiencing just life, right? So the physical being has infinite life. It dies. There's no purpose after death. And there's no right or wrong here. I'm just bringing it up in the context of two questions that will drive how you think about life, right? So that's the first question, is, are you a physical being experiencing life, experiencing spirituality? Again, there's a finite period. You're here. What's the point? But is it really survival? What is it? Is it all cost in order to be here? And is there anything really kind of afterwards? The second question, which is really we're going to dive into today, which is when you start to think about this. And the question is, are you a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience? You've probably heard that before, or some phrase of this. And I first heard this probably about 15 years ago. And when I first heard the question, it actually gave me a movement, if you will, inside. And I said, wow, I didn't know exactly how or what it was signifying at the time, but it really changed the orientation of how I viewed things. And so then I started really thinking through, not necessarily just with the mind, but just meditating, if you will, just kind of letting that simmer of that question, is that, am I really a spiritual being just having this temporary physical experience? And, I believe we are, right? I believe that we're a spiritual being having a temporary experience. And I think it goes beyond believing to just the knowing of who you are. Like if I ask you to put your awareness on your toes right now, like everyone take your awareness and put it on your toes. You can feel your presence, right? Putting your awareness down there. Or if I ask you to think of an apple, right? To think of an apple, it is fall in Vermont, right? So if you think of an apple, what color apple did you see? Green, red, what kind of responses? But who is the one in there seeing? Right? Like when you look in the mirror, you see yourself when you were 9 and you see yourself today, and you're looking in the mirror and you're going, why? I think I'm the same person. Well, you are, right? That's the spiritual sense. You're the same. The physical part of you is changing. That is subject to the law of impermanence. So meaning the first one is, are you a physical being and you're going to have some permanence, meaning that you're going to die and there's just nothing afterwards, right? The second part of this is that you're just down here for a few moments having this physical, temporary physical experience by witnessing the experience that you're having through life. And so I'm a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience, meaning that I come here knowing that it's temporary. So why is this so important? And it was really important in my life early on because it gave me a deeper sense of appreciation for why I'm here, right? You come in with nothing, you leave with nothing. And while it's certainly fun to build businesses, have families, have things, cars, planes, give money, donations, charities, contribute, but really at the end of the day, if this is your intent each day, which is that I'm a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience, how you go about your day is going to be different. What bothers you is going to be different. And the really beautiful thing about this is when you take this in the heart, things don't baffle you as much as they used to. Your energy doesn't shift nearly as much when things don't go your way in the physical world. Whereas if you're attached to the physical world, in question number one, whereas you're just in the physical world, everything goes up and down and you fluctuate with it. If you, in the number two, if you're a spiritual being just having a temporary physical experience, therefore the world's just going to unfold and do its thing. And yes, the experiences, I promise you, feel different, right? There's sadness, there's jealousy, there's irritation, there's joy, there's peace, there's love, there's irritation, there's all of these, there's all of those different emotions that we've labeled that are just different energy vibrations that you get to experience as part of your temporary experience here, that you get to experience all of those. But at the end of the day, you realize those are not you. Those are not you. So there's a sense of separation from the physical world to who you are. Versus in the first one, there isn't necessarily a separation. What there is there's just you, which is the physical being, being physical here. So therefore, you are everything in that physical sense. The second one, there's a separation from the physical being. Like, in the interesting thing is, I mean, you could prove this, at least I believe you can prove this. I mean, you could take off somebody's arm and you ask them, are you still there? They're going to say, yes, I'm still here. If you talk to somebody who's paralyzed or lost legs or limbs or whatever that piece is, and you say, hey, are you still here? Are you still the same person inside? They go, yes, I am. So you're not your physical body, right? In fact, if they had the technology, right? And if you just go with me on this example, if they had the technology where they just said, hey, I'm going to remove one of your toes because it's got to be on there. And that's what they thought the experiment was, right? And they put a towel or a drape from your neck down so you couldn't see what was happening. And they took everything out and they took your whole body away, but they moved you and your consciousness, if you will, and kind of to the side, but kind of removed most of your body. And you say, hey, how you doing over there? And you couldn't feel anything. You say, hey, I'm still here. So the physical body can be removed, yet at the same time, you who is in there that still has this experience is still in there experiencing life. So we know that. And we also know that you're not your body in a way, because when you're born, you're one size. And when you get older, you're a different size. And you start to grow and you come back, right? Your physical body takes different shapes. You look different throughout the age. You age, all these different things. Your hair comes in, goes away, and you have no hair, right? All these things happen, but you're still there. So it's very clear that you're the one who's experiencing the physical world, but you're not the physical world. And it's once you really understand that, it gives you a sense of that separation so that you can have clarity, that calmness to go out and interact with the world. You know, it's really fascinating. We're in a time now where, you know, our dharma in society, if you will, is not necessarily to go sit in caves and meditate. It used to be for a while, right? That was part of it. But now we're much more into this activity, the doing side of things. And while doing things, we can get so caught up into the doing part of our lives that we forget that we are a spiritual being, which is part of, if your intent every morning is that, hey, I'm a spiritual being having a temporary experience, physical experience here. It's just temporary. It's just like when you jump down to vacation. Like when you go on vacation, I always kind of give this example. It's like if I'm in Vermont and I go down to Florida, I'm having a temporary physical location in Florida having a vacation. But then I'm going to jump back to Vermont. It's kind of like the same thing. Wherever we come from, we jump into this world, and we come into this world purely so our souls can evolve. The evolvement of our souls happens through the physical experience. Right? So when you're going through the physical experience of these things, right, there's a physical experience, it's all designed to help you grow. How do you help you grow is by separating yourself from the physical experience so you can use it as a fuel to grow. And so that's the intention is when you truly are, can understand this, even you don't have to, when you just start putting your energy towards your intention, right? Remember, spirituality is not about changing what you do. It's about changing the part of you that's doing it. And what's really interesting about this is that when you realize that you are a spiritual being having this temporary physical experience, it allows you to have more empathy for people. It allows you to understand why people get glued and why they don't. And it also allows you to interact with the world with more joy. Because at the end of the day, I don't care if you're in business or any other profession that's out there, what do people really want is they want to feel good, right? Isn't that what it is? They want to feel good. Like if you ask any one of our employees or somebody that I'm coaching or helping out with, whatever that is, you ask them like, how do you want to feel today? Not like, what do you want to accomplish? How do you want to feel today? And the answer always comes back is, well, I want to feel great. What does great mean, right? I want to have joy. I want to have, really the greatness is that I want to have peace in my life. I want this energy to rush in. But we think that we need to get it outside, when the reality is it's already bubbling inside. We just have to put our attention there. And that's that I'm a spiritual being, therefore I'm already feeling great. I've just covered it up by going outside. So when you ask the question of how do you want to feel today, it's a different question than what do you want to accomplish today. What do you want to accomplish today is still great. It's a great question. But the separation between this is, how do you want to feel today? I want to feel great. And the only way to truly feel great every day, day in and day out, is the separation, right, from outside to inside. Remember, your inner world to your outer world. If you are tied to your outer world, which is most of us are, we're hooked, right? We're hooked inside and outside. So whatever the world does, if it goes well, we feel great. If it doesn't do well, we don't feel good, right? And sometimes we hang out in the middle. And so you're always going up and down. That's why when Michael Singer wrote the book, The Untethered Soul, the real definition of that, the untethering of the soul, means that you're no longer, your soul is not tethered to the outside. That's really what his whole meaning behind the book Untethered Soul is. And that's where he got the title from, is when you realize that you can unhook yourself from the outside, again, that you're who you are, how you feel is that spiritual sense, that spiritual being of how you feel is not hooked to the outside. You can actually still feel incredible peace and be on a deathbed. You can still feel incredible peace while you're going through anything in life. You can still have incredible peace while it's up, so it's down, it's middle. It's almost becomes just joyous, whatever starts to happen. And now, trust me, I get it. The physical mechanics of the world are hard at times. They're supposed to be. It's not supposed to be easy. The world is not supposed to just do what you want to do. There's 7 billion people on this planet. I'm pretty sure every day the poor world does not satisfy everybody. It can't. So that's not its purpose. So your whole purpose of your life here is not to get what you want. That's not it. There's an old joke in the Zen religion where they talk about, you know, heaven's so easy because you just get, and they're just using heaven as a term, right? But it's heaven's so easy because you just get what you want, and it's just easy to feel great. When you come down here, it's not so easy to feel great, right? And so that's the point is coming down here is so that you actually don't feel great all the time. Hence the ability to work on yourself. If you feel just wonderful, attached to the outside world, and the world just gives you everything you want, you're not going to feel that, which is why people set out to have everything in business, right? They have all the things they want, the house, the money, the prestige, all the stuff, and then they're still dramatically depressed, right? They're just very depressed because nothing outside is ever going to fuel them the way they're looking for it. Because the only way that you fuel that is inside. And I believe it starts with the question, which is, I'm a spiritual being. Are you a spiritual being having a minor physical experience? And then just life has a lightness to it. It doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean there's not going to be plenty of challenges. It doesn't mean you're not going to get hit and your energy is going to get shifted to a defensive position. It just means that in those moments when you have that, look, there is such a critical moment in human experience where it's that moment right before you're about to lose your sense of self. And that's what I mean, the sense of self is that you're stable, you're doing okay, you're driving along, you're there, you're present, you're looking at the beautiful trees and the foliage, there's a pumpkin, it's Halloween time up here, right? You're in that zone. And then all of a sudden somebody cuts you off. Or all of a sudden a thought comes in there about something that somebody said 2 weeks ago, and they come back in and you go, and you just get shifted all of a sudden. But you have this moment where the driver starts going 30 and a 50, where you have that moment to go, am I going to get lost here? Or am I going to stay centered? That's where willpower really comes into play here. The strength of your willpower will go, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to get lost in some Velcro thought. Literally, this Velcro thought is not going to take me down as to why all these people drive slow and why is it today? And right, your mind can do that. You're just going to see the thought wanting to grab you and you let it go. As you tend to let go, there just becomes a dissolvement of what used to grip you. And so that's why if your intention starts off, remember, spirituality is not about changing what you do, your profession, your activities, none of that. It's not about changing. It may, but it's not about that. It's changing the part of you that's doing it. And I believe the fundamental question is that if you're a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience, therefore that can be your driving intention, which gives you the clarity each day to let a lot of these things go. Came out a couple questions. Right? So what about the fear of the temporary experience, which is a great question, right? There is this, the fear of a temporary experience. Physically, fear is important. And so there's two different types of fear though, right? There's a psychological fear that we've created inside our heads, which is where that psychological fear comes in because we've built an illusion or a house inside our egoic level of consciousness, which is where we live, right? And if something psychologically penetrates that, like if we have an image of who we are and somebody attacks that image, that the image is a house that we've built as an example, right? It's a metaphorical house, but you've built it and somebody attacks that online or to your face, you start to feel the attack personally versus just somebody just saying a bunch of words. Because if somebody says those words to somebody else that you have no meaning, if you see a fight going on in the street and you don't know any of those people and they're saying the exact same words, it doesn't bother you. But the minute it comes to you, it bothers you. And the reason why it bothers you is because, well, yeah, it's me. Well, that's not you. That's the point. And hopefully you guys can see that. That's not you being bothered. That's your house that you've built being bothered, which isn't you either. So that's why when you remove the house, there is nothing to bother you. That's the whole awakening experience. Because somebody could say, I don't like the way you did this, or you're a fraud or whatever it is. And they could say it to somebody else that you don't mean anything and nothing bothers you. But the minute they say it to you, your house that you've built on sand, right? I mean, that's, you know, Jesus talked about that, about building your house on sand. It's always going to fall. And so like it's the reality is the minute something, the minute the wind blows, your house blows over. I think it's something along the lines goes. And so the minute words come in there and affect you, you're now out of balance. That's that shift of energy. So when that happens, by the way, you have that moment to go, am I going to let this bother me? Am I going to use this as an opportunity to start removing the house that actually caused the issue in the first place, right? It's like Michael Singer uses the example of thorns that are in you. And every time somebody uses words, the thorns get hit. Why don't you just, instead of dealing with the person's words, why don't you just remove the thorns? And that's what we're doing here, right? The awareness of all of this is so that you can remove the experience that's causing the pain in the first place. So you can actually stay more present in that seat of consciousness, which is, again, the way you do that is when it triggers you. And remember, in liberation is not something that you do. It's something that happens to you. You don't go out there and all of a sudden like, I want to feel bad and just do it. There may be a habit of that. But the reality is when it happens, you get that opportunity to say, I can let go. And that is one of the most precious moments in creation. Is when you have that moment, you recognize, I can touch this anger, I can touch this irritation, this jealousy, this victim language, I can touch all of this, or I cannot. And if you choose not, as hard as it is, everything starts to become easier. Because what happens is that what used to bother you just no longer bothers you anymore, melts away, and it's gone forever. Those are called samskaras. We've talked about this before in the episode, where samskaras are just stored energy patterns of things from many lifetimes that are there that show up and say, hey, this didn't feel good when you stored it, which is just a stored energy pattern. Therefore, this trigger just happened, so it doesn't feel good, but I'm trying to get it out of here. So if you let it release, if you will, and let it go, then you'll start to experience a lot more just constant peace in your life. And that fundamentally comes down to, if you're a spiritual being having this temporary experience, then use the temporary experience to grow as much as you can. That's why business is this conduit for personal growth. And go back to, so that's the psychological fear, and that's why we have it, right, to a certain extent. The physical fear is 100% real. And the reality is anytime that you're being chased by a tiger, your mind is not working. Not in the way that we see our mind working. If you're ever in a really fearful, frightening situation where your life's on the line, your mind actually shuts down. It just shuts down and you act. That's actually how you could act every day. You're literally, like if you've ever been like skiing or even in the flow, right? I always use skiing because you're skiing in the woods really fast. The minute I started trying to pick my lines and trying to think through everything is when I screw up. But the minute I just in there and just my body's reacting and moving, there is no, it's just, you're in harmony with the moment. And so therefore you're acting. You know, Adi Shanti, who's a spiritual teacher, gives the greatest example of this. He's a rock climber and he was rock climbing one day and he was like 200 feet up in the air and he found himself stuck. And he found himself where he was so high up, and his trigger point to lock him in was, I don't know, I think it was like 50 feet or 50 yards or 30 yards below. Anyways, the point, it was too far beyond. And if he fell from there, from where he was, and the weight of him coming down would pull that clip right out, and he most likely would have died, right? So he's in this spot, and he's stuck, and he can't go backwards, and he can't go forwards. And he's trying to think through his mind of how to do every single movement. He's up there for minutes, right, trying to figure this out. And he said, the way he explains it, he said, in the last like 15 seconds of like him shaking, trying to figure it out, knowing that he just physically couldn't hold on anymore. Like, you just get to that point where he's just physically so exhausted. He said his mind shut down. And all of a sudden, the natural flow of life just took over, and he saw the move. And it wasn't like the mind telling you. It was just, he saw it, and he moved without even thinking. And that's the example of just being out of your mind. Like, in fear situations, you just act. You're not actually thinking through your mind, and you have a whole sense of new energy that comes in there. So his mind kind of shut off. And mine was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to die. This whole egoic level of consciousness is going to die if I actually just stay in the way here. So it actually almost moves over to the side, and it allowed him to act. And he finished the move, and he climbed, and it was right to the top, and he climbed up over. And it was just one of the most enlightening experiences for him, because it just showed the power of just getting out of the way. And that's the letting go. So people say, what do I let go of? Well, you let go of the part of you that you keep feeding. You let go of the part of you that wants you to engage with it and interact with it that isn't doing any good. And that interaction is with the egoic level of consciousness of the ego, which is past, future, right? Ideas, concepts, beliefs, all about who you think you are. That is the egoic level of consciousness. So when you're caught up with a thought of that, you're not actually having the direct experience of life. You're living mind or ego. And remember, people think ego like bravado, like I've got this car or money. That's just a sign. You know, having the big ego of not having things is just the same ego, right? We just, in our society, have treated it differently. It's irrespectful. It's the same energy source of just you, whether you say, I'm going to renounce all money and it's bad, or I'm going to, you know, or any of those things. And by the way, the same sense of ego goes into somebody who drives a Lambo to somebody who drives a Prius. Somebody's like, oh, look at me. I stand for good, being a good person driving electrical vehicles. Now, I understand the importance of that. I'm not saying that, but there's a tone that a lot of people have, is like, look what I'm driving, right? In either case, whether that's a Lambo or a Ferrari or an electric car, it's like, I'm driving this because, see, I'm doing something good, or I'm driving this because look how much money I have. Or you could actually have the electric car because it's good for the environment. It's a wonderful thing, and you enjoy it, and you just have it. Or you could have the sports car, and you just enjoying that. So the intention behind what each vehicle is can make a difference too as well. So just remember that. And there's a huge difference between psychological fear, which is the fear of concepts, beliefs, images, past, future, of what we've created, and primal fear, which is a physical fear, which you need to protect. And by the way, it's good to have it. If you're being chased by a bear, you want that to kick in, right? That's fine. That's part of the experience, right? Oh, here's the other point on question number one, and thanks for bringing this up, Kim, is that if you believe that you're just a physical being and you're just here and there is nothing else out there, then it's survival at all cost, right? And that's what it is. But it's time after time we see that that's actually not the case. People in situations every single moment of every single day put themselves in harm's way to protect the greater part of society, right? And so if it was just physical being, that's it, then we would have this different thinking pattern that's below mind. We'd have this different acting power versus in a really stressful situation, or somebody's drowning, they risk their own lives, or run into a house to pull somebody out of there, or run into a car that flipped over and burning to pull somebody out of there. They risk their own lives to go in there and pull people out. Every single day, this is happening, right? And if we really was all about just surviving in that experience, then we'd be wired differently to do that. I mean, actually, it's really funny, because if you watch, you know, any YouTube videos, you can see animals actually going and saving other animals that they would typically eat, right? It's just funny how that whole thing is just natural built in, that this is just a temporary place. And if you look around, you can see that everything is subject to the law of impermanence. Means you come in here, you're having this experience, and it's there, right? What I really want you guys to take away from this is that this question, this intent, and really what it intends to lead to is how you interact with people, how you interact with the world, what you do. And the clearer your intention about your life, the clearer you'll have direction for your life. And that's why if you're a spiritual being having this minor physical experience, it gives you a sense of peace and joy that can accompany so much more of the roller coaster rides in life. And when the hardest parts of life, when they come in there, you can always go back, by the way, and ask that question. Hey, I'm just here having a temporary experience. So does this really matter? Does this thing that I'm actually worried about right now matter? Because at the end of the day, what is it that you really want? And that's you want to feel good. You want to, I don't mean feel good because you have something. And that's fine too, by the way. I love it. A lot of people do. They're great. It's awesome to have it. But you want to feel good irrespectful of that. You want to be rich and famous and have all these different things and not give a damn about any of it, which means at the end of the day, it's a Naval quote, but and I butchered it, but there's the essence of it. And a lot of people have said that, right? Like, I want to do all these things and not give a damn about any of it. So if they go away tomorrow, it's great. You can have all the things that you want, but if they go away, it doesn't change who you are, because who you are is already wonderful. And that's when the Buddhists talk about the world loses its salt, meaning that you no longer need to go out there and try to get your fix to feel good, because you're already feeling good. And as you start to work that into your life, there tends to be a shift in your intention about how you're interacting with life. And that's what people are truly looking. That's that awakening experience, or people using that as like, I want to be my authentic self. The authentic self isn't about telling people what you think. It's about being just real. And I don't know what other word to use to point it to. It's not about, yes, it could be about having tough conversations, but it's just about being real and you're not hiding behind your fear. So if you're in a relationship and you're going, you know, hey, like, you know, let's talk about a relationship. You know, do we have a good relationship? Do we not have a good relationship? That's what I mean by being authentic and real. It's like so many people are even afraid to look at it, their money or their weight or their relationship, because of fear of some psychological thing they have there. So they just don't approach it. Being real just means I'm open to all of that. There is no hurt there. I'm just, hey, you know, let's have the conversation. If we're wonderful together, that's wonderful. And if we're not too, and I get it. And so time to move on for either one of us, you know, any situation that is there. You're just never held hostage to something. It doesn't mean you don't work on things. It doesn't mean you don't try to work. It's not that at all. It just means that most people are unwilling to have the real conversation, the truth conversations with themselves and others because of fear. And that's what we would, but if you know you're a spiritual being doing this, then your intention can clear. And so there, you're no longer caught up in the same fear that may grip you or used to grip you because of that, right? You know, and is there a difference between pride and ego? It depends on how your definition of the word is. And that pretty much goes for all language, right? You know, pride, you can have a sense of pride in a lot of things. Pride can be pride of your kids and all those things. It's just an emotion that you get to experience. Pride is just a word that we use to describe a feeling. Ego is used to describe why we feel the feeling and why we become the feeling. Ego, or egoic level of consciousness, literally is, it only can survive in the past and the future, and it has to be getting you to see it. Like when I ask you to think of an apple, you're moving yourself from looking at the egoic level of consciousness to moving to seeing an apple, because just quickly there. That's why the whole go to your breath is so powerful, or look at a candle and meditate, or use the word to meditate on, because either one of those, there's nothing high power about any of that. What it does though, is it gets you out of your addiction to listening to that mind. And even then, when you're doing that, your mind will still jump in and do that. You're just so addicted to doing it. So pride is more of an emotion you get to experience. Ego is an entity, if you will. It's how Eckhart Tolle refers to it, as an entity that is there that you are basically have become. You become part of the ego because you've developed a sense of self through the ego, which is just survives only because you feed it every day. And that's why the more you can let go, what you're letting go of is the food or the fuel for the ego. So it starts to dissolve away. And there are three or four different levels of letting go of the ego. And the final one is the annihilation of it, which is a whole other experience. And it can feel like a death, and that'll be a whole other podcast, but it literally feels, it can feel like a real death that are in there, because part of that is what's there is actually really dying. Like I remember Gangaji, when she went through her experience, she said it basically felt like she had this realization that I was holding up this entire fort on stilts. And all of a sudden, in one second, one blow, the entire fort just went away. And all of a sudden, my life changed. Like, all of a sudden, I saw everything. I was no longer this small individual being on this house of stilts. It was just gone. And now all of a sudden the totality, it's like you're looking at a computer screen your entire life, and all of a sudden the computer screen go blank and you turn around and you realize there's a whole other world, and you go outside the building and you, there's a whole bunch of everything. And so the growth is just the opportunity for that soul involvement, that spiritual growth is there. You know, and spiritual growth is extremely painful. It is really, really painful. Most people want a path to spirituality that aligns them with who they think they are. And they get really close to that. Like, hey, I want to have a lot of this peace, but I want to be a billionaire, or I want to have all these things and feel really good. I don't want anything else to change, but I want this to change. That's still ego. And so the whole letting go is you're letting go of any concept you have of yourself. It doesn't mean you forget the roles you play, right? But it doesn't mean you forget the interaction you have at work, or you show up or clean your house or take care of your kids or pick them up. It has nothing to do with that. That's why the whole point of going back to this original question, we'll wrap that up, is this. If you're a spiritual being having a temporary experience, enjoy the temporary experience, all of it. You have roles, you have identities, you can play whatever word makes sense for you, but you're not any of it. You know, you're not hoping for a different situation, but you can use the word in a light sense. All of this is just that you're playing with life. Now, I understand there's real consequences. So it's not like you're careless or reckless. You're just no longer so caught up in what the world is doing out there that whenever it goes up or down, you're up or down yourself. You're actually just enjoying and playing with life. It's a sandbox. It's the greatest. You see everything. There's colors, there's animals, there's other people, there's everything. Some are nice, some are not. It's all the experience of life, right? Business, there's so many different professions out there now. Everything you can do in the activity world just becomes joyous. Now, I say that, it doesn't mean every day is joyous. Remember, there's this concept that people think, like, once I on this spiritual path, that everything should be easy. That's not what I'm saying either. But there is a level of peace that can come in. And there are a level that when you're still going to get frustrated, right? If something doesn't go your way, you can feel the frustration. The difference is you don't sit there and go down 17 different levels about why you're frustrated and what you're going to do to the person. You just feel frustrated and go, huh, I'm feeling frustrated. I get to experience this and it's gone. And then you move into clarity. That's why that's why I believe the next generation of leaders are just as committed to their inner world, this conversation, as they are to their outer world, or as they are to outer world, like bottom lines, spreadsheets, hitting goals and metrics. Because when you can have the intersection of the two, meaning that, oh, I feel frustrated, I lost money, that doesn't feel good. Okay, great, I get to feel this deeply. And then the feeling's gone. And then all of a sudden the feeling's gone. You have this clarity about what to do to take action to fix the fact that you're losing money, or to fix the fact that your house is gone, or that you have a relationship problem. You still fix all these things. You're still interacting with them. They're still hard. There's still challenges. But life is never going to just unfold the way you want it to. At times it does. And that's wonderful. You can experience it. And it comes down to this. You know, it's like at times a pond is still. Other times there's wind and it ripples it. Other times it's raining. Sometimes it's sunny. Sometimes there's sticks and leaves that fall into it, right? Sometimes there's animals in it. All sorts of things are going to happen in the pond. The pond just sits there and it lets it happen. That's kind of you. You're the pond, and there's all these things are going to happen, and you're just enjoying all of them. It's not like, I don't want any animals to come in the pond, right? No, like the apple tree doesn't produce apples and go, nobody can eat these. Well, the squirrels can, but nobody else can, right? They just produce apples. And that's the same thing with you, who you really are, that spiritual being. You're the pond. You're there contributing. You're there to embrace it all. You get to experience every experience that you're having. And that becomes the gift of being here. Hey, if you like this episode of Business Meets Spirituality, make sure to subscribe to this podcast before you go so you don't miss future episodes. Or visit our website, adamhergenrother.com. That's HergenRother, to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget, never give up on joy.